Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Everybody takes his side and goes above and beyond to speak in glowing terms about the guy. It just creates the impression that no one is putting him in his place and disciplining him. And so when that happens, and then he lets them down by misbehaving again, it makes the head coach look weak. You know, I honestly think that, not that everyone would come to Tomlin's aid or would come to his defense, that would never happen, but if he drew a harder line with Pickens publicly, and if Pickens still acted like an a-hole, I do think there would be some people that would be like, you know what, this guy...
He'll never draw a hard line publicly, though, because that would be admitting like that the people on the outside who wanted him to draw a harder line or take a harder stance with Pickens are correct.
I know, but the problem here is, though, Chris, is if he took a hard line publicly, we could then assume that he did the same thing behind closed doors. Now we have to guess, well, he's saying one thing. Let's hope he means something different. Let's hope that
he would rather have us play the hoping and wishing game than actually say it publicly. I mean, the best you can come up with to think that maybe he's getting kind of tired of this is the exasperation on the sideline when Pickens drops a bunny that would have gone for like 15 more yards on third.
I mean,
and four.
Do you think that in a Monday film review, the Warren Sharp video, I mean, not Warren's, but like something like that is being showed to George Pickens and Tomlin is dressing him down in front of the team?
I would hope.
Because I honestly don't. You can say you hope, but if I had to bet, is that happening?
Would it be Tomlin or would it be Arthur Smith dressing him down?
Or Arthur Smith.
Or would it be Azani? Would it be his position coach?
I mean, I would like to think that in front of the other 52 guys, you'd want to do something.
I would hope if you were Mike,
unacceptable.
I would hope if you were Mike Tomlin, some of the blatant bad efforts there where he isn't even running and it's his route or he's option two, I would hope that we have not gone so far down the road of coddling a player that you can't call out bad effort and just literally hit him with a very clear, hey, George, what the F was all of that bleep? Because that's what you should say. You should be calling a guy on the carpet for that and feeling good about calling a guy on the carpet for that.
I know. I just think if Tomlin doesn't want to say those things about a player, he would be advised to use a Jay Glazer or to use an Adam Schefter or to use a Jerry Dulac or someone and say, yes, these were the things that got said about George Pickens at his Tuesday press conference, but make no bones about it. Behind closed doors, Mike Tomlin gave George Pickens the riot act and put him in his place and said, basically, I have a zero tolerance about this moving forward.
I think Jerry did that. He said, trade him if he keeps acting up in a chat. That could easily be him regurgitating what he suspects is the internal stance on the guy.
Maybe. I mean, sure, but I mean, I think it would be more helpful if a reporter actually gave a secondhand account of what happened between the game against the Cowboys in what's coming up against the Raiders to assure people like you and me and fans, I'm a fan, that like he's not, you can't say nipping it in the bud anymore because this is not a one-time thing, but that he absolutely is aware of the fact that what's going on is unacceptable. I guess, although as I say that out loud, he benched him. So he did in the game do something
about
it. But
people want a player that they see acting the way Pickens acted in that game. It is a human nature as a fan thing. They want to see the authority figure on the team rip him a new one. They want to hear that. They want to see displeasure with the player that matches their own. And they are in the Mike Tomlin experiences. You will never, not only will you never get that, you won't even get close to it from him. Because he's already told us, you don't get to know how the hot dog's made because you wouldn't like all the ingredients. And frankly, I don't want you to know all the ingredients.
I will bring up, though, and I know it's a long time ago, but think about the Leland Bonds blow-up in spring training that went viral, and then you had Cook with his head's cap on interviewing him afterwards. And the way that Leland standing up to Bonds endeared himself with Pirates fans, and also it didn't cause the player to walk out and leave. Now, eventually he left for more money, but the guy went and played like
the player and the manager,
one of the best players in the sport. And by the way, it's not like Barry Bonds not have a reputation of being a guy that would sulk or be moody or, like, you know, alienate himself from teammates and other people. He absolutely had that, and yet that incident did not, like, burn bridges.
Well, more to the point, he and Leland, it sounds like today, have always had a ton of mutual respect for each other.
I agree.
Like, Leland sings his praises. Bonds, whenever he's asked, talks about how that was an isolated thing, and it happened.
I agree. So, obviously, this is generational, and that happened in the early 90s, and this is 2024. But I'm just saying, like, here, there, that is one very public example of where tough love helped a coach or manager in this town become more popular with people, and it also did not, like, cause a fissure in the relationship between
Leland,
player and the coach.
I don't think Leland cared about popularity necessarily, or cared that that would end up making him even more popular. I know Tomlin doesn't care about popularity. I do not think he gives one rat's ass about what anyone thinks of him. Would you if you knew
no.
you weren't going to get fired?
No, I wouldn't either. Why?
I think Mike, to the extent Mike hears the noise from the outside world locally, because he knows nationally he's getting, except for, you know, Danny Parkins, for example, yesterday.
Very well done by Danny.
And Cowherd occasionally, who makes fun of them.
But and some, Kyle Brandt once in a while.
Kyle Brandt once in a while, but Cowherd sometimes will get something bizarrely wrong factually that kind of undercuts his argument.
Yes, he said the Mets and Padres could play in the World Series today.
Yeah, that's, again, another tough one.
I mean, how, like, I think other than making that mistake, because since I was 5 years old, I've known that the Padres and Mets are in the same league with each other. How does he not know that?
Yeah, I've said some dumb stuff, so.
But that's really
bad,
Chris.
I don't have a research team with me. That's the thing. I guess to finish the point, though, when Mike thinks about the local media, I believe this. I don't think that he necessarily begrudges us what we do for a living, but I do think he thinks locally anybody that's out to get him is, generally speaking, talking out of their ass and doesn't know what they're talking about. I do. Like, when somebody, I mean, honestly, I think he looks at what we say about him to the extent, again, he's made aware of it, the way you or I would look at a Twitter troll who's in our mentions telling us, like, basically, drop dead, you don't know, you shouldn't even be doing this, et cetera. I think it's this with the same kind of amused detachment from that reality.
And I'm fine with that, but I don't think every person in power views it that way over there. I think he got very defensive about the Canada situation, and he had to be forced to get rid of him by his owner. And I think a lot of it had to do with how ugly things got between the fans and the team because they continued to employ that guy. So you shouldn't make decisions as a coach just based on what fans want. You shouldn't. This is not a democratic process. Like, I agree with that, but right now you have a reputation, I think, as a player's coach, which he likes because that's how he wins all these polls. I think he actually think it has a football function that guys want to come here and play for him.
He thinks he'll get better players to come here and he'll win. He'll break the tie for a free agent. Yeah,
right,
that worked great with Melvin Ingram.
Right, but, like, if you're a veteran player who's worth the damn and you've worked your nuts off to get to the NFL and you're online and you see that Warren Sharp video go out, you'd have to think, my God, Mike Tomlin tolerates this? He puts up with this?
That's why I don't understand why it doesn't stick to him more nationally. Because everyone else can watch those videos.
Well, you know what? This is going to be a... I'm happy you bring up, like, the national perception
of him. Steve Palazzolo, who's, I think, pretty sharp. We like Steve a lot. He said, yeah, Mike gets the best out of these guys for 2 to 3 years. Yeah, not really.
By the way, there's a guy sitting at the bar here that has probably the worst-made Jalen Warren jersey I've ever seen in my life.
Fanatic special right over there. Holy crap.
That's from... That thing got off the boat from China. I mean, look at that thing. I don't even see, like, a fake logo for, like, a Nike or something on the sleeve.
It's like the block numbering, but, like, not.
Look at the lettering on
it.
That's one of the worst. Charlie, you got to snap a picture of that.
It's a deeply...
That's one of the worst fake knockoff jerseys I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's a deeply strange thing. Here's one other thought.
If he paid more than $30 to number on that jersey for that, he got ripped off.
I would agree with you there. I have one more thought on this.
That thing looks like if you put it through the wash, it might, like, the numbers might
peel. It just all falls off and you have a black T-shirt underneath. There's nothing left. Here's the other thing about Mike. Mike, the disciplinarian or lack thereof disciplinarian, the guy who isn't disciplining his players, he only has himself, if part of it is a function of, I can't chew George Pickens out, I unfortunately need him, whose fault is that?
Theirs.
Well, it's his in the sense that he clearly wanted Deontay gone. He was ready for that relationship to end. He likes to run a conservative offense that limits targets. Just quickly compare it to one other wide receiver who did bitch and moan about his role. Romeo Dobbs got suspended for a game. The Packers just said, go home.
Good point. I'm happy you brought that up.
Go
that's
home.
That's another organization that's a lot like the Steelers.
Now, they have better receivers,
sure.
Jaden Reed and all that
He's
stuff.
Not,
but some of their guys were still hurt. Yeah. But, like, they just said, screw off. We don't care.
Here is one other thing about the national thing. The national media does not like Russell Wilson.
Correct.
He's the latest version of Ben Roethlisberger. He's the quarterback they've decided they all hate. Most of them like Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
If Tomlin goes to Russell Wilson this week and they lose to the Raiders,
he's going to get
pilloried on Monday.
Well, wait, is their love of Tomlin, though, still outrank their hatred of Wilson?
We'll find out. That's what we're going to see.
Quien es mas macho.
Because that's the type of move that, based on the way the narrative has been spun so far, they would disagree with going to Wilson. If they lose, what are they going to say at that point? That the owner came, like Tomlin had his hands tied, he had no say in the matter?
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, it's 5:15 on a Thursday. That means it's time for Ray Fittipaldo, and he's brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. Ray, your story on George Pickens got a lot of coverage, a lot of conversation started here. Being late to work. I thought it was interesting that you used the word work and not practice. So do you know what work – can you – elaborate on that. When you said he was late for work, what was he late for?
No, I mean, he was always there for practice, but as you know, there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, it's an 8-hour day for these guys, or, you know, sometimes more, depending on when you get in there for film and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's what it was.
How, I mean, is this something that became so chronic it was, like, happening all the time, Ray, or was it just more sporadic misses here and there?
Oh, I don't know the full details of it, but yeah, I mean, just what I reported, it was more than once. I do know that.
Are they concerned about it?
I mean, listen, the Steelers' history with this, or I should say Mike Tomlin's history with this, I think I've told this story on your station before. I mean, Antonio Brown was infamous for rolling into that building, you know, an hour late, and, you know, they would be in team meetings and, you know, he'd stroll in and go to the cafeteria and sit down and get something to eat. So, I mean, it was just kind of, you know, after a while, it was just kind of a known thing that AB kind of showed up when he wanted to. I don't know that it's the same now. I don't think it's the same now. I mean, you guys probably know we're not in the building anymore. You know, we're across the parking lot doing our work. You know, in a different place now, but, you know, I just think Tomlin's history, he kind of finds a way to massage egos, and, you know, I think he's kind of trying to handle George with kid gloves here. They kind of want to try to get the best out of him, and I think they're trying to do that. So we'll see where it goes from here. Obviously a tough week for George. You know, he'll look to get back on track Sunday night, and we'll see what happens.
You know, Ray, about Pickens, but kind of indirectly about Pickens and more about maybe Russell Wilson, it felt like he and Justin Fields, Wilson that is, were almost having a leadership off when they talked about Pickens today. Like, each guy trying to give the nicest possible quote about him. And with Wilson, I just could not help but think that that's a guy who's trying to angle to get his job back. And part of that is, hey, look at what a leader I am. I know this guy's under fire, so I'm going to go and make sure I have his back publicly. What did you make of what Wilson said about Pickens and maybe what it means?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Chris, Russell is super positive almost every week, you know. Like, I think last week maybe he was a little bit more subdued than he usually is. But he always, since he's been here, he's always tried to be a leader. He's a team captain. He still goes out for the coin toss, even though he's not playing right now. So I didn't read too much into that, but I think every quarterback, whether you're Russell or Justin, if you're going to have to throw passes to the guy in the near future, and let's face it, it could be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road where Russell might be in that position. You're going to want to have that bond, that relationship that this guy believes in you. So I think that's what Russell was trying to do. I don't really think there were any ulterior motives or, you know, anything like that.
Ray, is the Steelers' behind closed doors opinion of George Pickens different from the BS they've been selling us this week?
I mean, listen, you know, a lot of people are not happy with, you know, what went on there. I mean, you got situation with the eye black and, you know, violating the uniform policy. I mean, that's kind of, you know, not being a great teammate there, and then obviously slamming the helmet. And there was a lot of stuff that went on in that football game. I think the biggest issue that people in that building have, you know, Deontay Johnson kind of had this issue last year in the Bengals game where he didn't have to go after the fumble. It was, you know, you're not out there giving 100% effort. And I think until George gets back to being that type of a player, there's probably going to be some people in that building who are unhappy with him. So, You know, I don't know. I was at practice today. George was practicing hard. He's running his routes hard. You know, I think a lot of the people in that locker room, the teammates especially, want to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe this is just like a bad week for him. But like I said, this is a big game Sunday night. I'm not saying it's a do-or-die situation. They're going to trade him if things don't improve. But I do think for George and for the Steelers, things are kind of at a tipping point here. We have to see this move in a positive direction fairly soon.
Do you think they're more likely to force him to show, hey, you know, like, I'm going to play hard and I might not get the ball early in the game, but I'll play hard and then you guys will reward me? Or do you think they're going to try to go to him early and often to integrate him into the game and the game plan?
Well, Justin was asked about that today. Justin was like, well, we can't really force things because, you know, that'll get him out of his rhythm and, you know, that'll get Art out of his rhythm the way he wants to approach the game. But I don't know, if you listen to George's dad, maybe they should do it. I mean, he's been all over,
yeah.
Excuse me, social media, you know, advocating for just what you mentioned. So, I don't know, I think back to when Mason took over last year, guys. Mason got him involved early at work. They got some early touchdowns. Maybe they do have to do that. Maybe they have to go outside the framework of what they want to do and feed him early to get him involved. I don't know if that's 100% what's bothering him, but, you know, I think they could certainly afford to at least try that and, you know, see if it helps.
Ray, when you say that this needs to change fairly soon, are you saying that you think there's a chance they could trade him before the deadline if things don't straighten up?
No, I'm just saying in terms of him being a distraction, and the team being on a two-game losing streak now.
So you don't put any stock in this trade stuff that's out there with him?
I mean, I would never close the door on it. They traded Chase Claypool when things went sour with him, but I don't think they're there yet, guys. I think this has only really bubbled over in the last week or two. You know, there have been some issues, like even going back to, you know, the Atlanta game where he didn't play a lot. And, you know, Arthur had some stuff to say about him the following week about details and stuff like that. So this stuff has been around for 5 weeks now, but I don't really think it's bubbled over into his effort and stuff like that really until the last week or so. So I think people are willing to give us a little bit more time.
Is Roman Wilson in some sort of bizarre doghouse we don't know about for a reason that hasn't yet been made public, or what? And do you think this is the week he finally gets on the field?
Well, Arthur did say today he thinks it'll happen sooner rather than later.
He also said he was far away, though, Ray. He was sending very mixed messages in that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Arthur really just kind of said what Mike has said about the situation. When you're a rookie and you miss 5 weeks of the preseason, it's hard to get up to speed, and I think Roman has maybe felt that. I don't know that it's, you know, he's not going out there and catching the ball. I can't say it's that, but I just think those reps that you miss in the summer, in the preseason games, now you're missing regular season games, all of that stuff adds up, and, you know, some of these guys are just a little bit further along. So we'll see if it happens this week. I do think at some point, maybe the bye. I know you guys don't want to hear that. It's 3 weeks away, but, you know, that's usually the time where you reset, break some of your tendencies, and, you know, that's the point where maybe you make some lineup changes as well.
Ray, who's going to be the quarterback on Sunday?
I think Justin's going to start. I have a pretty good feeling that Russ will be the number two, and I'm not predicting anything, but, you know, if Justin looks like he's off to another bad start, maybe there would be a quick hook. I don't think so, but I'm also thinking about the Jets game a couple of years ago where he benched Trubisky at halftime. You know, I think that time is coming soon if Justin doesn't play well. And I think Justin, unfortunately for him, is coming off his worst game. He had played pretty well until that Cowboys game, but unfortunately for him, it's, you know, it's a week-to-week business here, and he's not coming off his best game.
Ray, doesn't it sound like the way Wilson is talking and the way they're using him in practice, it puts Tomlin now in a position where he has to pick a side? If Justin, because Wilson sounds to me like he thinks he's going to play in the Jets game no matter what. So if Fields plays well and Tomlin wants to stick with him, he's got to name him the starter next week, right? Finally.
I mean, Mike always seems to dodge that bullet, so I'm not going to make that prediction, but I do agree with you.
But how would he say he's not ready when he's been a full participant in practice 2 days in a row next
week? Yeah, so, I mean, you're saying if Justin plays well, then he's going to have to name one guy one way or the other.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, he could also make the excuse that I got to watch. I mean, you guys listened to what Arthur said today. He basically said it's day-to-day. We got to see how he moves around, stuff like that, so... I don't know, guys. I think they could probably prolong this as long as they want, as long as Justin is playing well.
How about Russell Wilson just getting sick of the charade?
Good point.
Yeah, but to this point, I give him credit. He really hasn't, he's been a team guy to this point. I really haven't seen him do anything else. So, I mean, until that time comes, I'm sure his agent behind the scenes is maybe, calling some people, but, Russell, to his credit, hasn't made a big stink at all about the situation, so I do give him credit for that.
Ray, give us something we haven't touched on yet that you think's a big deal.
Third game in a row, third opponent in a row that's banged up. They squandered two opportunities. You can't squander this one. I mean, the Raiders are without Christian Wilkins, or starting Aiden O'Connell. This is a game the Steelers should win by 10 points.
Okay, there you go. Ray Fittipaldo on his way to Vegas for the Steelers and Raiders, where Donnie Football is going to have like a frat house feel there. They're doing an Airbnb, Ray, so feel free to stop by and hang out with those guys.
I'll be in touch with Donnie.
Wow. Okay. Ray Fittipaldo, everybody. Thank you, Ray.
All right. See you guys.
For Total Request Thursday, what do you want us to talk about right now? 5:30 on Thursdays, you pick the topic. The four things on the table today were petulant George Pickens, the Pens' epic opening loss last night. They're getting ready to play the Red Wings in a few hours. Pitt starting off 5-0, and Lieutenant Dan, who has taken social media by storm, the man with no legs, who is trying to ride out the hurricane in a sailboat down in Tampa. He actually finished second in the race to be today's topic. The fans want more Pitt. They want 5-0 Pitt discussion as this team has entered the top 25 and it has its best start. Not in our lifetimes. Mulsey and I are becoming old farts. We were around in 1991. Do you know who that team was coached by?
In 1991?
Yes.
The?
Pitt Panthers.
Paul Hackett?
Do you know who Paul Hackett is, Donnie?
Nate Hackett's dad.
Let's go. See, you're on the ball today in the 5 o'clock hour.
No, I got distracted again by Danny Parkins.
Why would he do
that? He stole one of my ideas without realizing he was stealing it. He's proposing a narrowing of the goalposts because field goals from 50-plus have gotten too easy. That was a famous Malzi idea, an adjustable goalpost idea.
Yeah. Danny's just going on national TV now and taking the stuff that I've said and the stuff that you've said, and he's parlaying that into millions of dollars. Must be nice.
When are we going to have our day in the sun, Pony?
I said that right at the beginning of the show. Then it's just you and me.
Plotting away here. Plotting up, plotting down.
Punching out. Just grinding
away. Like those old Looney Tunes where they would actually go in to punch the clock. Where Bugs was like an employee, they would do some fantasy sequence, Bugs at the mine, punch
in. Did you ever have a job where you actually had to put like a card in?
A physical like paper card?
Yeah, I did.
No, I think we had electronic punch-ins at my nursing home job. I don't think I ever had like a punched time card.
Yeah, we did.
Where was that at?
My uncle's company that he had, we built like the trusses that are the roof support.
Thing. Yeah.
And so I was doing that job. I was absolutely terrible at it.
There's not a surprise.
And, actually what I would do at this job was there was a sports talk show host that I didn't like, and I knew that he screened his own calls. So I would be in this giant warehouse, and the saws would be running and stuff, and I would call into his show, and he wouldn't screen the call. He'd put you right on air. So he would go to the caller, and he would just hear, like, the cacophony of noise.
So wait a minute, what sized market was this in where the guy had to screen his own calls?
This was back where I
grew up.
I grew up, yeah.
So there was an actual sports talk station there?
Yeah, there was a sports talk show the guy would do.
But he had to be the only person on it, no producer, right?
I don't think so.
He had to just be running his own board, and if a call lit up, hey, you're on the air with so-and-so.
This guy actually went on to have a very good career and is still working in the business, and I will tell you who that is off the air in a little bit, but yeah.
But you're running bandsaws while you call
him. He would annoy me because he was so lazy at his job. That he would do segments where he would just read the baseball games with the pitching probables with their record, and that was a segment.
Like, he would not offer any editorial commentary?
No. He'd be like, all right, coming up later, Royals and Yankees, Garrett Cole, 13-8.
That's a news update. That's not a
3.74 ERA.
That's not a sports talk segment. That's just reading the news.
Taking on Michael Wacha for the Royals, and like no opinion given on anything. Just,
and you're saying this guy has gone on to success?
Yeah. I mean, I understand. I guess, but even back then, this is when I was in college, so it wasn't like the internet was
probably like what 2007, 2008.
I think a little bit before that.
Okay, 06. But I mean, you still were well into the sports talk digital era.
Yeah.
Man, that's bizarre. Anyway, Pitt 5-0, baby.
Pitt 5-0 wins. So I was actually, and we'll get to the clip from Narduzzi today with us on Eli Holstein, which I thought was really good. What do you think, and this is always a topic for Pitt, but I am interested in
it. What do you think is a good season for Pitt?
No.
What do you think
the crowd is going to look like on Saturday?
40 to 45,000, so sporadically populated upper bowl or upper deck and a pretty full lower bowl.
So last year, I'm looking at their attendance numbers, like around this point in the season, so in October, they played a game against Louisville, actually two October games. They got 48,500 for North Carolina. They were 1-2 at that point. They had only beaten Wofford. They lost to Cincinnati and West Virginia. They got 48,000 for that game where they got blown out. And then after losing to North Carolina, then at Virginia Tech, so they're a 1-4 football team at this point, they got 46,000 for Louisville at home. They ended up winning that game in a big upset. But, Malzi, if they're putting that kind of if they're putting those kind of crowds in when they're bad, they got to get over 50,000 for Saturday. It's 3:30, which I think is the best time to play a college football game.
You think we got a large traveling party from Cal for this one?
Oh, I just
they're coming from Berkeley in waves. Could be explaining to you like, you know, high end economic and political theory.
Let's see what the weather is going to look like on
Saturday. Kind of rainy, I think.
They're pregnant or you're not pregnant. It's like either raining or it's not raining.
No, but it could be like one of those days where it spritzes for a little bit,
a
stops.
Spritz?
Yeah, spritz.
A spritz would not keep me away.
A sprinkle, a shower. Well, you're a diehard football fan.
But a spritz is you don't even come with a rain jacket.
No, like how about intermittent showers? Would those keep you away?
No, showers don't scare me.
Mm, when do we get to like something that scares you?
A deluge.
Downpours?
Yes,
oh,
downpour.
Wow, monsoon.
69 degrees, no rain in the forecast whatsoever.
Oh, then maybe it's Sunday, Monday, where there's a chance of rain.
They should have 50,000 plus there for this game.
Well,
I think the momentum is building with them right now, Chris.
They're playing a fun brand of football, too, where they score, they play quick. Like, I would think that would be more enticing than perhaps some Pitt teams in the past where they might have started strong, not 5-0 strong, but they're fun to watch, and their best player is their quarterback. There have been many times where Pitt had decent teams, but the best player wasn't the quarterback. It's tougher to get into that. You know the best player on the field for them is going to touch the ball anywhere from he's going to touch the ball every play, but he's going to be intimately involved in probably 85 to 90% of their plays, either scrambling with the ball, throwing the ball, or maybe executing a whatever. And then in Reed, they've got a guy who's also very entertaining.
Now Hammond's back is like more of the thumper. So in 91, when they got off to a 5-0 start, they did completely crap themselves. They ended up losing, I think, four out of their five next games. They still finished with a winning record, but I don't even think they finished
very
ranked
disappointing
in the top 25. Yeah. The bottom completely fell out. I'm not predicting that for this team, but I will say their last five games are at SMU, Virginia
currently
at home,
ranked.
Clemson at home,
currently ranked.
At Louisville, at Boston College.
It's a tough schedule. I looked at it. It's if they get to, like, I think 10-2, honestly, would be very good. Very, very good. 9-3 even almost feels acceptable. But
if I set their over-under right now for the rest of the season at 8.5 wins, would you go over or under that?
I would take the over for one reason. I actually
really?
I believe in Holstein. I think he's going to deliver the goods, man. I know that they've had to rally against, you know, Cincinnati's not good. West Virginia's all right. But I believe in the guy. I think he's going to keep getting better. Hammond coming back gives them another offensive dimension, too. You know who they haven't really gotten in? Well, it's been all wide receivers. Like, Bartholomew hasn't scored a touchdown. They got six guys with at least two touchdown catches. He's been spreading the rock, man.
Speaking of Holstein, when Pat was on with us earlier, we asked him about him getting plucked away from a big-time school like a Big Ten or SEC school next year and throwing bags of money at him. Here's what Pat said back to that.
You know, I think Eli and his family are smart enough to know, listen, you know, him and Cade Bell work really good together, okay? He likes how he calls the game, and those are all great things. I mean, he can win a Heisman Trophy from here. He can win a national championship from here. All those things. But you know what? You can think that it's all about you and it's all you, and you can go somewhere else and all of a sudden go from being really good to not being very productive. So I think, you know, when you have a good thing going, I think, you know, people are smart enough to figure that out if you're happy. Now, if him and Coach Bell aren't getting along and Eli's a great quarterback, but like, you know, we don't get along, well, then, you know, then you really, you know, the fans should worry. But I hope, you know, the city of Pittsburgh is a great place to play. It's a great place to live. It's an unbelievable place to get an education. And again, on top of all of that, if you have a good culture and your team gets along and you like who you're playing with, that's probably the most important thing in the world. I mean, we could be 500 right now, but if you're happy with where you are, you know, be careful what you wish for.
You asked a great follow-up question, though. He's got this relationship with Cade Bell. What if Cade Bell leaves for greener pastures? What if Cade Bell wants to be a head coach somewhere?
Faces the same temptation. What about an SEC coordinator at Alabama, LSU? Somebody just comes a-calling for him at a much bigger, deeper-pocketed school.
And Narduzzi said he's got a contract, but all of these coaches that go in level up from one job to the next.
Have a contract. Their buyout gets paid. It's not, what is it, a $10 million Cade Bell buyout? I doubt it.
I mean, even if it's a couple million dollars, if a SEC school thinks this guy is
going to... Ohio State thought for some reason bringing him in was a difference between them not winning a title and winning one, they would do this. They would snap their fingers and
pay
it.
Well, there was a rumor that David Portnoy from Barstool, who's a giant Michigan fan, I guess went on one of his podcasts or one of his shows and said, I'll pay the next Michigan quarterback through NIL $5 million or something like that. I mean, that's a tough thing to say no to. I mean, that program offensively is not at a good year. Could they hire Cade Bell? I don't think that's out of the question.
I think people's big problem with Strome Moore up there is that he didn't really hire, he didn't retain a good staff or go out and fill positions because he was competing with Jim Harbaugh, who's probably trying to raid the staff.
I'm telling you right now, this is, to me, a gut check game for Pitt. This is one of those things where, when you're in your marathon, Malzie, not that I've run marathons, but you have, everything's going well, but you get to that mile where it's like, man, I got to really push through here, get through that wall. I think the Cal game is one of those. It's not a sexy game. It's not a glitzy game. You're not playing an opponent that you'd normally get up for, but you got to win.
Which makes it dangerous.
Exactly.
You know, I hope they don't do what I did in the last half marathon I ran, which is crap out completely after 7.5 good miles.
Did you finish strong?
No. No, finished weak, actually.
Did you puke?
No. My feet were so chewed up at the end. I think the one of my toenails, that was in May, Pony. That was 5 months ago. One of my toenails is still not fully healed from that day. 5 months later.
I have a brown mark on one of my big toenails that I thought was the sign of a dead toenail that was eventually going to turn the whole thing.
No.
Looking that way, and it's been like that for a year.
Can I
get that looked at?
It's just probably a blood bruise you got that hasn't grown up and out yet. I lost a toenail. I can tell you what that looks like. It ain't pretty. Doesn't hurt as much as you think because it doesn't fall off unless it gets ripped off, which is really hard to do. It doesn't fall off till the nail that grows underneath it pushes it off. But, yeah, still feeling the effects of that half marathon 5 months later, Pony.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile.
Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.